Give a little time for the child within you. Don't be afraid to be young and free. Undo the locks and throw away the keys and take off your shoes and socks and run you.
It's Jordan, Jesse Go. I am Jesse Thorne, America's radio sweetheart.
Jordan Morris, boy detective.
Oh. Jordan?
Yeah?
I want to wish you a happy Dia de Pescas.
Fish Day in Spanish. Thank you. It's been an amazing fish day so far. I haven't interacted with any fish or eaten any or really thought about them that much, but I mean, I can feel the spirit, you know?
Jordan, the literal translation, sure, it's fish day, but I think the actual translation, at least the one on the banner that I saw was Youth Fishing Derby 2014, MacArthur Park Lake.
How'd it go?
It was pretty great. I was here earlier this afternoon. And the lake outside of our recording studio here on MacArthur Park in Los Angeles, surrounded by 8-year-olds fishing. It was a United Nations of aspiring anglers. I did not see any fish get caught.
I think fishing, you know, transcends culture.
You know, that's a really good point.
Thanks.
Although there may be some inland cultures that don't do a lot of fishing. I guess they do freshwater fishing.
Rivers, streams, fjords.
Cricks.
Yeah.
Well, if you're going down to the creek, you're going to try and catch crawdads.
Sure. Or a famous jumping frog. You can put it in some sort of jumping frog contest.
Oh, I guess this is going to be an annual thing now, because this happened to us when we were recording once before. That must have been a year ago that we saw the first time that hundreds of Los Angeles children came together to go fishing in an artificial lake, in a real lake whose bottom was filled in by concrete.
Do you think that Dia de Pesca is going to become a more beloved Jordan Jesse Go holiday than Analogous?
That is a tall order.
I mean, Analogous is more of like a month long celebration,
right?
And this is one day, so I guess it.
Yeah, I mean, this one is more technically a holiday.
Mm-hmm.
Right? Because a holiday has to be a single day.
That's true. Now, I guess Analogous is, I said celebration, but I guess it's more kind of a month of remembrance.
A lot of people.
Remembrances of the anus.
Let's bring our guest into this conversation.
Sure.
Because he's going to have a lot to say about everything from fish to anuses. He is a stand-up comic. He is the host of a new documentary about stand-up comedy around the world.
Yes.
Which I've already forgotten the name of, despite the fact that he told it to me literally 30 seconds ago.
Stand Up Planet.
Stand Up Planet. There you go. His name is Hasan Minhaj. How are you, sir?
I'm doing wonderful. Thanks for having me, you guys.
It's a pleasure to have you, although I think you're too handsome.
Oh, yeah.
Right?
Really? Too handsome.
Okay.
Yeah.
Get out of here.
He's one of these too handsome to be a comic guys.
What are you, Chris Hardwick?
Come on.
Hey.
Get out of here, you Rob Delaney.
Oh, man. Oh, man.
And you get those sweet Jordans.
Oh, hey. We can get into my affinity for Jordans and why I...
Are
I
you can... a... Now, okay.
He's got the concrete colorway.
Oh, yeah. Are you a...
Look at you.
Are you a line waiter inner for Jordans?
You know, I used to be when I was a kid.
Mm-hmm.
And I did that a few times. I am definitely a big part of the culture.
Sure.
I'm a fan of the culture, but as an adult, I can't.
There's an age cutoff for waiting in line for Jordans.
But you know what? The fandomonium has only gotten more and more and more. And
I am shocked by that.
Yeah.
I was sure. Look, I've had some sneakers in my time.
Sure.
You know what I mean?
Uh-huh.
But I was sure when I was in college, which is now 12 years ago, that the fad had reached its peak. I was like, you know, it'll go back to like maybe people waiting in line for the new Jordans every year or whatever. But this whole like I've got 1,000 pairs of sneakers, I'm obsessed with sneakers thing, it's going to recede. But no, it turns out Tumblr and whatever has made every teenager in America does this now.
I would say social media. I would say hip hop, and I would definitely say things like Tumblr and YouTube and social media makes people post about it and talk about the culture.
I mean,
more.
I think it's funny you bring up YouTube, and we had a long discussion a couple shows ago about the guys who buy the new pair of Jordans and then film themselves pissing in them.
Whoa, wait, what?
Yeah, because of some sort of reason.
What's the reason?
I mean, I think it's like a fetish thing, but yeah. Well, okay.
They're like super into Scottie Pippen.
That's what gets them off the thought of, I was like, oh man, I'm peeing on these Air Max Uptempos and this is getting me off right now.
At the height of your Jordan waiting in line for, what was like your prize get?
Hold on, Jordan.
Sorry.
What was your Grail Kicks?
Oh, my Grail Kicks.
Hey, man, you know the terms.
That's great.
Grail Kicks are what I would call the black and cement threes, which came out in 1988, designed by Tinker Hatfield. It's a beautiful, beautiful looking shoe. It's I'm sorry, white cement threes. I think it's just an overall beautiful looking shoe. It's the white and it has the little elephant print on it, and it's just a great classic looking shoe, and it goes with everything.
What are you wearing now? Those are fours, right?
Yeah, these are the white cement fours. Yeah. You're
a professional menswear blogger. Professional menswear blogger over here.
Now, can I ask you a question?
Yeah.
Why is it that when men, adult men, wear sneakers, specifically Air Jordans, it's as if we can't cross over into that professional menswear game? We're considered to be children. Is it just because they just look so ridiculous and goofy?
I think it's because of the children on Tumblr. I think Jordans are cool, especially those earlier ones.
Yeah.
The ones where there's 10,000 different things going on, a little bit much for me, but
yeah.
I'm on board for them. And you know, another thing I'm on board for is a girl that likes Jordans. I think that's my urban youth speaking up there, but I like a girl in Jordans.
Yeah, and that there's also Tumblrs devoted to that.
Nice pair of J's.
Yeah,
you know who likes her Air Jordans? Gillian Jacobs.
Okay,
no kidding.
Talked to her one time about
very
Jordans.
Interesting. Yeah. What I don't like is the resale culture, and then the abuse of the resale culture. So what will happen is people will line up in line and then get these things that are called bots. So they can get bots online on Nike.com that will just fill up their cart with the shoe.
And this is like something on Twitter that recommends porn to you?
Yeah, kind of.
Because those are great.
Yeah, the avatar is just boobs. Yeah.
Right.
And so what people will do, they'll fill up the cart, they'll get all the shoes, and then they'll resell the shoes. And there's no attachment to it. It's just for like this quick buck. And for me, the thing that gives me a lot of joy in wearing them is like the memory that I had when I was a kid and not being able to get them, and then just the pairs that I was able to get, and the joy that I would get when I would wear them. And
to relate this to Comic-Con type culture. This is the leaving the action figure in the box.
Yeah.
And not playing with it.
Well, people, I like to rock them. I don't like to stock them.
Okay.
I feel like life is short, wear your Jordans. That's kind of just like one of my, and I think that's a greater message for life. Just like,
why not pee in them while you're at it?
Well, that's a little bit too much.
And film it on YouTube.
Yeah. That's kind of just like life is short. Just really disrespect it and degrade it.
Sure.
I will say this. I had decided to buy a pair of sneakers, and I hadn't bought a pair of like Nike sneakers. Like I'm wearing Keds right now.
Sure, but they look great.
Thank you very much. Well, they're Mark McNary X Keds.
Yeah.
But I hadn't bought like a pair of Nikes since I bought a pair of basketball sneakers maybe 5 years ago to play basketball in. Before that, maybe 3 or 4 years before. I just had this feeling inside me like, oh man, I really want a pair of these Air Maxes that I couldn't afford when I was 12 or 13 or whatever, but I could totally afford them now and they still look super cool to me and they're out there. Like I know that they exist because I saw a dude wearing a pair. And, but I literally didn't know how to buy them. I had to email my friend. I have a friend who, does a podcast about sneakers called, Sneakerheads Unite. His name is Dallas Penn.
Oh, wow.
So I emailed Dallas and I said, Dallas, how do I buy these Air Max 90s? Uh-huh. And he had to like, he gave me this instructions. He broke it down for me.
Yeah.
He hit me with this blog that you go to and the blog tells you like what Nike outlet has what different stuff. And then you call the Nike outlet. And
how
you
to defeat the wizard that gives you the copper key.
Exactly.
Yeah.
And the,
yeah.
like the right can combination of A, A, B, 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 A, A, A that you have to press when you get on the phone with the sales
associate. It's exactly like comic book culture and having a specific shoe that not a lot of people can get. And that's why I'm a little anti the movement when they go, ah, everybody has them. I also don't like the forced supply and demand that the Nike corporation is doing, where it's just kind of like, we'll just do a super, super limited release for certain shoes, but then do a bigger release for other shoes. And I just don't like that. I want to be able to get the shoes that I really, really like.
You know what? I'm about the culture. That's why I'm all about Dia de Pesca.
Yeah.
You know, because that comes from the people, a combination of the people in the Los Angeles Department of Parks. Those two are the sources of Dia de Pesca.
Do you get a sense of who won Dia de Pesca? Because it's a competition, right? It's who can catch the most fish.
You mean who won, Mexicans or Filipinos?
Yeah. What race? Which race is better at fish catching is what I'm asking.
I couldn't tell, but there's still some kids fishing out there right now. And I think this thing started 8 o'clock this morning.
Wow. And so they're in it for the long haul.
Yeah, we're in the late afternoon as we record this right now. Okay, that's all I have to say about fish. Hopefully that's all we have to say about sneakers, because everybody was, oh no, hold up.
What's happening?
Have I ever talked about this one episode of Bobbito Garcia's TV show where he went to Biz Markie's house to check out his sneakers?
You haven't?
No.
Oh, shit. Oh, shit. Okay, all you fuckers on the Max Fun Reddit better be scouring the internet right now for the episode of Bobbito's TV show, which I think was called Kicks. I want to say it was called Kicks. It was on MTV2, and it was about sneakers. And Bobbito, who's like a legendary hip-hop DJ.
Yeah.
And also a legendary street basketball player and also legendary sneaker collector, went to Biz Markie's house. And Biz lives in this house in, like, Long Island or whatever, like, just a regular suburban development. Like, he lives in a McMansion, basically.
So is he a one-hit wonder?
Well, no. Biz Markie is a one-hit wonder on the pop landscape.
Okay.
He has a couple of other pretty significant hip-hop hits. The Vapors would be a good example of that. And also, he is a major, major formative figure in hip-hop.
Yeah, he's a very big figure in hip-hop, I would say, yeah.
And he's also one of the most important celebrity DJs in the world. So, like, he DJs a lot of, you know, like, Diddy parties and stuff like that.
Uh-huh.
Like, he is a huge, huge international, leading international hip-hop DJ. And
I saw this episode, though.
You saw this shit?
Yeah, yeah.
Right. Okay, so he goes into Biz Markie's house, which is a wholly unremarkable house.
Very.
As though Biz Markie doesn't live there, except they open the door to his sneaker room. There's no furniture.
None.
There's nothing on the walls.
Absolutely not.
There's just boxes of sneakers in piles.
Yeah.
And Biz Markie is like, it's as though he was Scrooge McDuck jumping into a money pit. How excited Biz is to share with Bobbito all of the different, like, Clyde Frazier shoes.
Yeah.
That he has stacked up all crispy in boxes.
Uh-huh. And I was blown away by, specifically the Clyde Frazier's. I was like, to be proud of that shoe. You know what I mean? Very rarely do people go Scrooge McDuck on some Clyde Frazier's. It's not like he had, you know, Air Maxes and J's, you know, from, like, you know, floor to ceiling. But I respect that. I also respect Fat Joe's shoe game, him pulling out a fresh pair of shoes, then licking the sole, putting it back in to indicate these are unworn. He licks the soles of his shoes, and that's a big thing.
But, like, Biz Markie, like, lives his life. He's probably 50 or something, right? He's got to be, because 1985 is 30 years ago. So he's probably 50 years old. The man essentially lives his life as a 12-year-old, maybe a 15-year-old, but in a pretty kick-ass way. There's a website, I think it was on Soulstrut. There's this website called Soulstrut where, like, rare groove DJs post about different stuff. And I don't really go on this website. But one time, a friend of mine who's a DJ sent me a link and said, you have to look at this. And it was just a thread of people talking about times that Biz Markie had intersected with their life and done some crazy shit.
Oh, wow.
And it's kind of like how Bill Murray will sit there and be in your engagement photos or something.
Yeah, except that it's Biz Markie calling you up at 4 a.m. even though you've never met him before because he heard that you have a transformer that he doesn't have.
That's amazing.
Yeah, like, Biz Markie is a fucking American hero. That's all I have to say. Okay, that's the end of sneakers. Please, someone find... Do you think that show was called Kicks? Does that sound right?
You can go on YouTube because I saw it on YouTube.
Okay.
How many episodes do you do on sneakers? How many episodes did this sneaker show last?
I feel like you get it done. Well, you got your Fat Joe episode.
Yeah, you got your Fat Joe. You can do a lot. The culture is pretty big. As many rappers as there are, I would say easily 60% of them.
Okay. Have a big sneaker collection.
Yeah.
So I guess what do you do? What is your show other than look at the famous sneaker collection of this guy.
That's really all it is. It's kind of, it's kind of just like a smaller version of Cars.
Gotcha.
Yeah.
Yeah, but the thing is you got Bobbito. He's fun.
Mm-hmm.
He's like a fun, cool guy. But I see what you mean. It's sort of like Cribs, but if Cribs was only the thing, part where they open the refrigerator.
Right.
Yeah. And also the part where they open the refrigerator is less telling.
Yeah.
But, oh, yeah.
But if they were really into their, like, oh, this is my sriracha. This,
yeah.
Oh, dude, nobody has the sriracha. That would be.
I would see a like a Fridges crib supercut.
Yeah?
Or if there was like a special, like the best Fridges.
That does sound like a solid. You know what? I still have in my closet, I have a pair of patent leather Jordan 1s.
Stop.
That I bought in college at the Nike store.
Beautiful. And the black ones. The black ones?
No, they're red. They're red, white, and black.
Yeah, I know those ones.
And I always, like, there's always when I'm, like, clearing out my closet, I think, like, maybe I should get rid of these Jordans. Like, I haven't worn these Jordans in 5 years.
Yeah.
Like, in what part of my life do I wear Jordans, especially patent leather ones?
Yeah.
But then I'm like, no, it's going to come up. I'm going to need these Jordans later.
Yeah. Yeah. The occasion will strike.
Okay. Well, we'll find out what that is when we come back in just a second on Jordan Jesse Go.
Hi, my name is Hrishikesh Hirway, and I have a podcast called Song Exploder. In each episode, a musician takes apart one of their songs and piece by piece tells you the story of how it was made. You get an inside look into the creative and technical process and a unique view of a song by hearing just the drums or just the guitars or, say, just a Wurlitzer piano. If you're a fan of music, if you make music, or if you just like to learn how things are made, come check it out on MaximumFun.org. Thanks.
It's Jordan Jesse Go. I'm Jesse Thorne, America's radio sweetheart.
Jordan Morris, boy detective.
Hasan Minhaj, young, brown, and pretty.
It's true.
All three of them.
I mean, it's.
I don't know about young. I haven't seen your driver's license.
Right. I'm not that young.
It depends on where you put the.
Sure.
But he looks young.
He does look young.
You know what?
He
always
could play high school.
Nah, I don't know about that. But I. What,
you could play college.
College.
You could totally play college.
What I respected most about Muhammad Ali is how he said he was pretty. He was the heavyweight champion. He'd go, I'm pretty.
I couldn't play college when I was in college.
You could.
When I was in college, people.
Did you know you had a radio voice in college where you're like, I sound like I should be on the radio?
No, I don't think so. Hmm. Somebody yelling.
You could play Drifter now if you wanted to.
Mm.
I could play Drifter. That's a good point.
Yeah. Go out for some of those Drifter roles.
The
yeah.
nice thing is that the stuff is starting to open. Really, possibilities are starting to open wide for me in the miscellaneous character area.
Yeah. Sure.
Before, I was too young to play miscellaneous guy.
Now, what do we got? Ne'er-do-well?
Sure.
Doomsayer,
gas station employee, rural gas station.
Oh yeah,
yeah.
Not a. What about a rural gas station? Urban record store.
There sure. we go. Yeah, yeah. Portland record store.
Yeah, like.
What about you? What do you feel like your initial reaction is when people see you?
Oh, you know, I feel like all the auditioning that I do and all the auditioning I've done, it's mostly for like. Stoner, drunk stoner, or like
oh, yeah, we
someone
talked about
who
this.
Someone who like is annoying one of the main characters. I constantly auditioned for How I Met Your Mother.
Uh-huh.
And I never got it. I never got, but I at its height, I probably auditioned for How I Met Your Mother once a month.
Wow.
And it was always the same thing. It's always like someone in a store who is annoying one of the four principal characters.
Got it.
Like someone who's behind them in the coffee line.
Got it.
And is being a dick.
So nuisance is
so
in
like,
your real house.
Yeah, nuisance, pest.
Yeah.
Asshole.
Uh-huh.
So yeah, I think so.
Great.
Although I think there was mainly, you know, maybe a little bit of a symptom of my headshots.
Okay.
Where I had some kind of goofy looking headshots. I had some new ones taken.
Okay.
I don't know how much more acting auditioning I want to do. Maybe ideally not a ton more, but if the time comes to do some acting auditioning, I maybe have some where I don't look as annoying. I don't know. Hopefully.
Did you just add a cardigan?
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, same expression.
And
I just had a photo. I just photoshopped a cardigan onto my old ones.
Yeah.
They're like, I like this guy. He's got a sort of. Were you going to say Bing Crosby vibe? I was about to say a Bing Crosby vibe.
And I have a bubble coming out of my mouth that says, I'm dreaming of a white Christmas.
Ah, that's great.
Talking headshots are going to be new.
Yeah, yeah, that's going to be the new thing.
I remember when color headshots came into vogue.
Right.
Part of me wants to get the like classic four-panel headshot. Like
Where
I'm in a cowboy outfit and then one where I'm like a scientist.
Have you ever gone to the Comedy Store and seen all the headshots on the wall?
I haven't.
Very terrifying. Yeah. It's a very terrifying thing because they have headshots all the way back to like, early 70s. So you go, you're just like, what's Taxi Driver doing? There's a guy named Taxi Driver,
Yeah.
The character, the man is named Taxi Driver?
Yeah, or like you just see a headshot of a guy. From like the early 80s, and it says B Smoove or something. And you go, what's B Smoove doing?
Well, what's
right
really
now?
Great is that, like, as comedy goes back further into the past, before about 1993, like, you could be like Comedy Bumblebee. Like, that could be a thing that would get you on Evening at the Improv.
Sure.
Yeah.
Like, you could get on television as the Comedy Bumblebee, and it's a guy with a stinger on his butt.
Uh-huh.
Like
making bee puns. Sure.
Yeah, making bee puns, and that could get you on TV. That's what comedy was then.
Yeah. Just basically just commitment to any weird character. But, you know, this brings me back to the whenever I do that, I'll go there, you know, I'll do shows there or whatever, and I'll just, like, look at all the photos. But then it made me realize back to that Biz Markie story, and he's in that McMansion in Long Island, and there's part of that that makes me go, you know what, he made it.
Yeah.
Like him having that asset and me knowing that he's okay.
I bet he leads a pretty hustle-free life.
Yeah. And I think that's great. Whereas when I watch MTV Cribs and I see Rick Ross's house and it's in Miami and then there's his pool, there's his face in the middle of his pool, I just go, this must be exhausting. Because
sure.
He constantly has to be like, look, I got to fit my face in my pool.
Yeah.
So what am I doing today to keep that going?
Right. You get that. I mean.
Whereas Biz Markie's like, I have a track house. And
yeah, I mean, trying to dig up some rare Transformers.
Like at some point, I dropped $800,000 on this thing.
Yeah.
And yeah, sure. Did I have to put in custom record shelving? Yeah, sure, I did.
What age do you think you guys will keep caring? What's the age where you go, I don't care anymore? I'm just about that sweatpant life. I give up.
That's an interesting question. You know, I've been thinking about this a lot because, you know, I host a radio show about culture. And one of the things that I have to do for this radio program is care about culture. And once in a while, I get a powerful feeling like, fuck it. I'm just going to listen to the Spinners forever. Like, uh-huh. I'm gearing down like a trucker. I'm just going to take it into first gear and engine brake.
Uh-huh.
You know what I mean? My entire life. And what that means is that it's going to be the Shy Lights and nothing else. Just nothing but vocal groups from 1973 is going to be my entire life. Fuck all other musicians.
That's great.
You know what I mean?
That's great.
But I can't for professional reasons.
Yeah, but that's like me kind of taking it back into first gear and just stopping when I was like 15 and go, that's it. It's Ja Rule and Ashanti from here on out. Why not? It brings me back to a good time, you know?
I did a thing on this week's Bullseye about lowrider oldies.
Okay.
And to me, what lowrider oldies, if you don't know, are this genre of music that I think like guys that drive a lowrider now, they probably have a giant subwoofer in and they listen to rap music really loud. But lowrider oldies is this really specific genre that dominated lowriders, at least when I was a kid. And it's like vocal group soul music and plaintive soul ballads that run from doo-wop all the way into the late 70s.
Okay.
And the time is not what is important. It's just this sort of feeling of being lovelorn, essentially. And what I like about that music is that it fits as perfectly for those dudes now that they're 60 as it did when I was, you know, when I was a little kid and they were however old they were then and 15 years before that when it was 1975 and they started liking that kind of music because they're just like, fuck it. They're just like, fuck all of you. I listen to this one really specific thing and it's super chill. It's exactly right for being an old dude. You know, it's like, dudes, it's like, it's for these guys, it's like Sinatra for two generations before
sure.
us. Like, you know, any old guy could just listen to Dean Martin and Sinatra forever. That's what low rider oldies are to these old cholos.
Do you still, Jordan, do you still appreciate music the way you used to? The way when you would go to Tower Records and open it and take off the shrink wrap?
Oh,
and
sure.
Pop
yeah.
The CD
so
in?
Definitely not. And definitely like a big part of my youth was like going to shows.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
Okay.
Like, and I mean, I went to shows every weekend, definitely.
Where'd you grow up?
Orange County.
Oh, okay.
And, yeah, I mean, I try and get out to see live music, and it definitely is like super invigorating when I do, but like, it's something I have to talk myself into. It's a process. Like,
yeah.
I on the way here, I drove by, what's that theater on Wilshire? The Wiltern?
The Wiltern.
The Wiltern. I saw that, Ted Leo and Amy Mann's kind of duet project is going to be there tonight. And I bought that album, and I love that album. It's terrific. It's one of the best, you know, new things that I've been listening to in a long time.
And you've been a Ted Leo fan. I mean, we had Ted Leo on The Sound of Young America because you booked it when we were still in college 10 years ago.
Oh, sure. Yeah. Well, was he on our college radio show? I forget. That's funny.
He was, yeah.
I totally forget that. Yeah. Anyways, but yeah, like tonight I'm going to a co-workers cocktail party, which, is going to be very, very fun. But if I was younger, I would have dropped everything to go see this show.
Yeah.
But yeah, so I definitely felt weird driving over here going like, oh, I would like to go to that. But I'm doing something infinitely more adult than seeing this show. It is strange. It's very strange.
I got offered a ticket the other day by a publicist. And I just don't super often get offered tickets by publicists because I never take them. But I got offered a ticket by a publicist, to go see Eels here in Los Angeles.
Mm-hmm.
And Steve Perry is with Eels. Now, I have no emotional connection to Steve Perry, which many people do.
Steve Perry.
The longtime lead singer of Journey.
Really?
Who had not.
What does he do with Eels?
He sings Journey songs and Eels songs.
Wow.
So basically.
That's weird.
Basically, here's the deal.
He had stage fright, right?
Yeah, he just quit singing. I don't know if it was stage fright or what, but he had not performed in, I think it was at all, in 13 years. Mm. And, you know, I mean, this is one of the most popular singers of the last 25 years. And then just on the internet 2 weeks ago, just a video, Steve Perry sings with Eels in Minneapolis. and it was a trip. And I actually really like Eels. And Mark E. from Eels was on the show before, and he's really nice. And he lives in my neighborhood. I've run into him at the grocery store. I like him a lot, and I like the band a lot. And it's like, oh, this crazy, weird, historic thing to see this legendary pop rock singer, like maybe the greatest singer of that type of music ever, performing with a, you know, really
super
weird,
credible, mopey indie rock band.
Yeah. And I knew as soon as he offered, I was like, I'm not going to that. Nope. Got to go home and take care of my family.
Wow.
Yeah. That was it. Like, I can't go, really. I can't just go to something.
Yeah,
definitely. Not in the cards.
At the peak of my show going, like, if I missed something, if something came through town and I didn't go to see it, it was a little bit of a Rain Man.
Wow. Thing.
It was like a little bit like someone threw down toothpicks.
Wow.
And I'm like, I need to cancel everything and see this because if I don't see this, I won't have seen it.
What was the age where it stopped? What was the age? Was it more about responsibility?
Mm.
Yours was more. This sounds
well,
like more like responsibility.
There was two different things. I used to go when I was in college. I went to three shows a month, which in Santa Cruz really took some doing. I mean, we were driving. We would drive up to, you know, there'd be one or two, like I like rap music, so one or two hip hop shows in Santa Cruz a month. And then we'd be going to Stanford, or we'd be going up to San Francisco, or we'd be going up to the East Bay or whatever. And then after I graduated from college, I was with my wife, and she likes rap music. She's not super into going to rap concerts, so it just sort of tapered off.
Yeah.
But I still would go periodically. But then when I had kids, it was just clunk, hammer dropped. Haven't been. I don't think I've been to a show since I had my kid.
Oh, okay.
It was almost 3 years ago now.
Hassan, what's your live music going to?
Man, it really wakes me up as a performer. it just wakes me up, especially the way the direction a lot of hip-hop acts and stuff are going. I went to go see Jay-Z and Kanye West. That was amazing. Watch This Their Own was incredible.
See, that's
the
thing.
They both come out on things. Yeah.
I have never been to a concert bigger than, like, amphitheater size, bigger than 2,000 or 1,500. And of that, I saw Aerosmith when I was in sixth grade.
Okay.
I saw D'Angelo on the Voodoo Tour, and I saw Usher when I was got free tickets for Usher. Usher was pretty great, actually.
No, Usher was great. You don't have to qualify that.
It was Usher, Nas, and Faith Hill.
Okay, sounds like a blast.
Faith Hill. Wait, not Faith,
Faith
Evans.
Evans. Faith Evans.
Not Faith Hill, the country singer. Yeah. That would be an awesome
great
lineup.
Triple bill. Great triple bill.
Faith Evans can sing her ass off.
Opening
Holy
Cannibal Corpse.
Shit.
Just throw in something else.
She does not know how to put on a show at all. Uh-huh. It was like her and two backup dancers and nothing else.
Uh-huh.
But holy crap, can she sing. And Nas was boring, even though I actually like Nas and don't care that much about Usher.
Uh-huh.
But anyway, so like I've been to a couple of those amphitheater type shows, but Outkast are coming to the arena here.
Oh,
in
yeah,
Los Angeles.
The BET experience.
The BET experience.
Hey, I kind of want to go to the BET experience.
Yeah.
And, you know, Outkast are my favorite hip-hop group of all time, and I've never seen them in concert. Like, they, by the time I was, you know, old enough to really go to shows, they had stopped doing shows.
Right.
So... Yeah, like, on the one hand, I want to go. On the other hand, I'm like, this could be lame. And then I would be really disappointed that I spent $300 or whatever.
So what gives you the chills? What rattles the cages for you now?
You know, I still have a...
fucking.
Yeah.
Hard,
oh, yeah.
Intense
okay.
Fucking.
Yeah!
Yeah.
Boom, boom, boom. Especially just, like, illicit gay sex. Like, just
right.
Out in the fucking woods.
Right, sure.
Just a random dude that I haven't met. He's just... pounding my ass.
Uh-huh.
Just because I'm married.
I'm getting into...
Right. I'm straight.
Yeah.
I'm getting into jazz now. Just like jazz. Mellow
yeah, like
jazz.
Time signatures you really get really gives you a boner?
Sure, yeah. You know, I have a prejudice that I still have from my young days of going to shows. It's
sure.
Like... the smaller the place, the better.
Okay.
Like, you know, like when you go to punk rock shows, you're like,
right.
Oh, where are they playing? Oh, that's pretty big, you know.
Right.
So, yeah, I definitely still turn up my nose at, like, amphitheatery type things. I definitely want to see something in a small room,
uh-huh.
As small a room as possible.
Uh-huh.
So, yeah, definitely when I'm in a small room seeing a band, I'm like, yeah, this is it.
This is where it's
this
at.
Room is so small. Yeah, there's 80 people here.
Right.
So I definitely feel like when I go to something...
Right. Right.
And it's small. I'm like, yeah, this is the best.
I'll tell you one thing that makes me feel like I'm about to die. Like 3 or 4 years ago, I got in a car accident. I was rear-ended, and I got a back injury. And it's not that severe of a back injury. It's a bummer, but it's not crippling or anything. It doesn't prevent me from doing anything. But one thing that I learned is a couple years ago, we had Mavis Staples on the show, and she was doing a show literally at the bottom of the hill where I lived, like 6 blocks from my house. And the Staple Singers are one of my favorite groups of all time. I went down to see Mavis Staples, and I, like, couldn't stand up the whole time.
Oh, wow.
Like, I was like, oh, no, this is a real problem. Like, I can only stand up for about 45 minutes straight. Like,
oh, wow.
And a concert is 3 hours long.
Very humbling.
And when you're in a club, there's nowhere to sit down unless you're one of the people who, like, threw bows to, like, catch one of the 20 seats in the club.
Yeah.
And it was a real bummer. The same thing happened to me. My wife and I went to see one of my favorite jazz singers, Jose James, out in Santa Monica. And the same thing happened. We watched 2/3 of the show, and I was like, I don't think I can stand up anymore. I have to go home. And it was like that sucks.
Is that why companies just they stop after that 35-year-old mark? Because they go, look, your legs and knees can't even handle watching or consuming any of this stuff?
I think so. I think that's how demographics work.
Because after 35, maybe it's just like, look, they don't have the time, resources, or mental energy to even give a shit anymore.
Yeah, well, that's...
So why even cater?
Yeah, exactly. I mean, with the exception of Dr. Scholes, who do very well in that market.
Yeah, Dr. Scholes knows that it's 35
plus. Have you guys seen Dr. Scholes live? Dude, it's a different experience. You hear the record and you're like, yeah, this is good, but there's an energy there.
I saw them on a double bill with Dr. Dog, and it was a hell of a show.
Oh, yeah. You're going to want to take some shrooms before that.
Well, I'll tell you when you want to take some shrooms. When you see them with Dr. John. With the Night Tripper, and he's doing the whole...
Sure. No. And, of course, when Dr. Demento comes out. Honks his bicycle horn. On the topic of live music. I think I mentioned this.
Is it Dr. Demento?
It's the Doctor's Tour.
One time
Dr. Phil comes out and yells at everyone. And,
one time Dr. Demento was on The Sound of Young America. You know what Dr. Demento's like?
Dr. Demento?
Yeah.
Okay.
100%.
Could have guessed.
Yeah.
I talked a couple months ago. Well, months ago on the show. When did this happen? Anyway, a couple months back, me and a buddy of mine went to see Chance the Rapper.
Okay.
And the surprise was that we were the oldest guys there.
Wow.
Easy. I mean, it was kids. You know,
it's all just like high school kids.
Yeah, whose moms dropped them off at this thing.
Okay.
And it was super, super weird. And, you know, we just felt bizarre. And we're kind of like sitting there waiting for the show to start, you know, just drinking these, you know, giant $12 Nokia Center beers.
Uh-huh.
And just feeling weird about ourselves. And my buddy he starts talking to the guy sitting next to us, which is weird. I'm like, well, I don't know. Neither of us knows what to do. Who cares?
Go
like,
for it.
Was weird.
And
I'm just kind of like spacing out. And there's like a DJ on stage at this point, kind of just doing nothing interesting at all. And my buddy taps me and he says, hey, give me $40. And for whatever reason, I just gave it to him. I didn't really know.
What are you going to say?
Jack's asking you for 40 bucks.
And you just say yes.
So I give him.
If you got the 40 on you.
Oh, I've got the 40. Here's the thing. On Monday nights, I coach a sketch group. These guys are paying me in cash.
Oh, okay.
So I'm always rolling with about $80 in cash.
Oh, I thought
at
you
all times.
I thought you did the thing where you were a Boy Scout and you went to the Wells Fargo ATM that's right outside the Nokia Center and goes, I may need cash in there. And
that's
then
right.
You cash out.
My buddy might ask me for $40.
Yeah.
So I give him the $40, and then he hands me this tiny plastic bag, and he's like, "I just bought Molly from this guy.
Okay,
I should probably do it."
Uh-huh.
And just out of this is maybe 50% curiosity, 50% discomfort.
Okay,
sure.
That's a drug that is popular in mixed company generally.
Oh,
correct?
Sure. Yeah, like that you would try and fuck on it. Is that what you're talking about?
Yeah.
I don't know. Jack's a nice guy.
Okay.
He's a cool dude. We, you know, we get along pretty well.
There's some woods outside.
Exactly. There's some woods.
You know what I've always been fascinated with drug culture is that, like, especially in the United States, we don't trust each other at all. It's like, I don't want you to check my internet history, personal boundaries, blah, blah, blah. And then you will literally consume something.
Right.
From some rando.
Guy, yeah. In hindsight, this was dangerous and stupid.
Yeah.
I should not have done
this. But people do it all the time.
Sure.
And that's really interesting to me. That juxtaposition is really fun. How was the experience? Was it really
great? It was great. We had so much fun.
Uh-huh.
I guess my solution, I guess the takeaway from this is, you know, if you feel weird and sometimes you do get a little too old for live music.
Sure.
Just do some drugs.
Mm.
Do some drugs.
I just assumed that your takeaway from this was going to be that you really missed out on raves.
I know. Yeah. Oh, yeah. I never went to a rave. That's definitely something that, like, people my age are nostalgic about. They like to talk, you know, talk about the first rave they went to, and I just can't, I can't hang out in that.
You know what? Like, I, as listeners probably know, I'm generally speaking straight edge, but ecstasy was the one drug that I've always been curious about because I've always heard such great things.
Yeah. I mean, well, yeah, this is an ecstasy specifically, but it was really fun. I mean, we just kind of walked around. We went to like a bar afterwards, and we must have been the most obnoxious guys in there. I remember us having a loud conversation about like literally the meaning of life. Like we literally were two fucked up guys talking about the meaning of life really loudly.
There was a point where my wife and I had this conversation, and I was like, you know, if I ever did drugs, I feel like I would do ecstasy or one of those new ecstasies, which is what your Molly's and your MDMA.
For me, it's psychedelic mushrooms, hands down.
See, now my wife had already done that.
And that was only done, and that was only introduced through the Steve Jobs biography. That's it. When they said they, you know, he would go out and he'd go into fields and have the whole vision thing, and that's why he thought he was better than, you know, Bill Gates, because Bill Gates was kind of a square bear, and he's like, no, I did mushrooms, and I did acid, and it expanded my mind. And I'm like, that's how you invent the iMac? I'm in.
I had this conversation with my wife, and she said, you know, I have a friend who could probably get us some, like, maybe we should do it. And I was like, yeah, maybe we should do it. And I was, you know, pretty serious about it. And like, you know, like we're adults. Like we can do this safely. Like granted, it's illegal, but it might be kind of cool, you know. And it's not going to lead me down to, like, I'm pretty comfortable with the fact that it's not going to lead me down a path of drug excess. You know what I mean?
To get drugs, if you need your wife's friend to help you, you're not a guy. It's not going to be shoved in your face at multiple junctures.
Well, I had called Chance the Rapper, and his line was busy.
Oh, sure.
So I just with my wife's friend, sort of. And then we didn't get it together. Then we had a baby, and now we'll never do it. That's the end of that. Like, who would I do the drugs with? It's not, I would want to do them with my wife.
Oh, you're not going to be one of those parents that smokes the weed with the kids?
There's one in my building. I can tell because she pushes around her baby and she's stanky.
Oh, okay.
It's like gross smelly. But that's not that. I feel like marijuana is the least bad.
Yeah.
Like, I think the problem is I don't really advocate. I think it's probably a bad idea to use marijuana and take care of kids. But certainly out of all of the possible intoxicants, it's the one I would pick. Sure. But I do think that, like, something like genuinely big time mind altering.
One of my favorite intoxicants of choice right now is yerba mate green tea. I love doing doing a brew of that.
Yeah.
I'm actually
just yerba mate.
Hey man, I'm actually like you. I don't do any drugs or alcohol or anything like that. I just can't function without it. If I stay out too late, I feel like I'm like, what am I doing? I'm really fucked up right now.
Can I tell you, we had a show last night. A fantastic show. Our thanks to our friends, my brother and me, the McElroy brothers, for inviting us to do that show. It was a real blast. Thanks to everyone who came out. And we went to an Indian restaurant beforehand. And Jordan had a friend who worked there and that we didn't even know was going to be there, but we ran into him and we ordered dinner. And as is often nicely the case, when you run into someone you know that works at the restaurant that you're at, a couple of things came out that we had in order that were like fun things. And one of them was two little tiny chais.
Oh, great. In like shot glasses.
In shot glasses. Like we're looking at 3.5 ounces each of chai. I drank that chai, and because I hadn't had any caffeine in, except for, you know, the occasional chai that someone brought me in 4 or 5 years or however long it's been, I was fucking flying. 4 ounces of chai. I was ready to, like, fight somebody.
Amazing.
I was, like, ready to, like...
Did you get to sleep that night?
I did get to sleep that night. Okay. I know I crashed. By the time our show started, I was like starting to go downhill. Like it literally lasted 90 minutes or 2 hours.
Yeah.
And I was like,
I love timing it out like 30 minutes or 40 minutes before a performance.
Yeah.
Ooh. And then it hits you and the clarity.
All of a sudden you're fucking Dane Cook. You're out there. Boom, 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 boom.
Yeah.
Get in the power squat.
Exactly. And then I feel like I'm in the Matrix and I took the right pill and I'm like, okay, I can see it all.
Yeah, you're selling those jokes.
Speaking of Rain Man feeling like he needs to count all the toothpicks, because there's a joke that I wanted to make in our show last night but didn't get a chance to. Can I make it here?
I would love to hear the joke.
This is a safe place.
Yeah,
and
thanks,
it may
guys.
Be that the people hear this show that we did last night. A few weeks from now.
Sure, yeah, yeah.
You know, assuming the recording came out okay, I haven't listened to it yet. We might use it as a fill-in show if we're on vacation or something like that. So you know, this is going to be an interesting.
Yeah, I mean, I'll have to do a little bit of setup, and again, I don't want to step on what we talked about
right
on the show, but I think this is it's worth sharing, and it definitely did keep me up a little bit that I didn't get this off, and you know, just for my peace of mind. Thank you guys for letting me
go
do
for
this.
It.
So a big, I think, you know, definitely the audience favorite topic last night that we talked about was the fact that I recently shaved my balls and pubic hair for the first time.
Mm-hmm.
Just shaved, you know, right
not,
off.
Not
shaved
trying it all to
off.
Brag.
Not soup to nuts.
About the shave.
Shaved it
not
off.
Trying to brag about the shave or the fact that it was the audience's favorite topic. Keep going.
So, yeah, I don't want to, you know, that whole story will be on the show if we release it. So, you know, listen to it when it comes out. But just as the setup, I have recently, for the first time, shaved off my my pubic hair.
And you and I and our friend Janet Varney mm-hmm. had a discussion about
yeah,
that.
We got into it. Mm. So, you know, a lot of people say that when you shave off your pubic hair, your penis will look bigger because of an optical illusion. Mine doesn't look any bigger, but people can't seem to tell if it's a face or two vases. Is that worth going back for?
That was a lot of fun.
Thanks.
Can I tell
How do you think that would have done at the show?
Would not have done well.
Okay.
No.
I'm glad we...
My Brother and Me fans would not have liked that joke.
That's a solid joke.
Arguably, they didn't like the topic of discussion.
The two people that came to see us, mm-hmm. I think they would have enjoyed it.
Oh, good.
We actually, you know, it went really well. It was really fun. And we got some great reviews on Twitter, and I thought this was one of the best reviews mm-hmm. we've ever gotten. I wanted to share it.
Sure.
It was from Ham Medley.
Mm-hmm.
And this was a review of our show.
At Ham Medley?
No, at Big Nosed Bully.
Oh, okay. Good.
Who calls him or herself Ham Medley.
Okay.
It was a review of our show with our friend Janet Varney, mm-hmm. which we did last night. Watching Jordan Jesse Go. And this girl is Jill Varney, and on Cora, I guess. Pretty funny, guys.
Oh. That's, wow. You know, that makes it all worth it.
Yeah, that's what you do
that
this
That makes it
for.
All worth it.
I'm sorry that you've never gotten a review like that, Hassan, I assume.
Oh, I've gotten some terrible. I've gotten ripped a new one on Reddit.
Yeah, well, because you're so lousy. But we're really good. So
we get awesome reviews like that.
Right.
I'm not trying to be a dick or anything.
Yeah.
I'm just spitting facts.
If that's the worst it gets.
I'm a raw truth soldier.
Sure. Mm-hmm.
We'll be back in just a second on Jordan Jesse Go. La, 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 la. It's Jordan Jesse Go. I'm Jesse Thorne, America's radio sweetheart.
Jordan Moore's boy detective.
Hassan Minhaj, young, brown, and pretty.
He is, folks. Sponsors on this week's program are friends at Hulu Plus. You've heard of Hulu. Why don't you kick it up a notch? Boom, as Emeril would say.
There's all sorts of episodes of your favorite shows on Hulu Plus. Family Guy, Parks and Recreation, The Tonight Show with Jimmy Fallon, and entire runs of Community and South Park. Every single episode of Community and South Park.
I don't know. We've looked into whether they have any episodes of Emeril sitcom. We do not know yet. We do not know yet, but we do think he still has the potential for a hit show. In him, a hit fictional show in him. He's got a lot of talent. I'm looking into combining him with a hologram of celebrity chef Paul Prudhomme.
I'm not being paid to say this, but I will say that the interface of Hulu Plus on PS3 is fantastic.
That is a nice interface. I agree with you.
It's a really great, easy-to-use interface.
Before my PS3 bricked, I had Hulu Plus on it. Great interface.
Wait, your PS3 bricked?
It did, yeah.
Oh, wait. PS3 is not the new one.
No, I got a PS4, and it's doing just fine.
Okay, well, the good news is, no matter what you have, Hulu works on it. Roku's, Apple TV's, Xboxes, PlayStations, basically anything. And you also get access to their original shows, like their show Deadbeat, a comedy about a pot-smoking guy who talks to ghosts.
Speaking of Hulu Plus and fresh catchphrases that are still in the ether, it's time to make the donuts, and it's time to sign up for Hulu Plus. You go to HuluPlus.com/JJGo, and you get 2 free weeks.
That's HuluPlus.com/JJGo. And we also want to thank our good friends at Earwolf. You know, Earwolf... You know, Earwolf is...
Earwolf is an old-timey car piloted by Jay Leno.
Earwolf.
It goes putt, putt, putt Earwolf all the way makes, around Burbank.
Earwolf makes some of our favorite non-Max Fun shows, shows that we have been guests on, shows that past Jordan Jesse Go guests have hosted or do host, continue to host, Sklarbro Country, How Did This Get Made, Comedy Bang Bang, all kinds of great shows. But did you know that they also have a cool website called earwolf.com?
That sounds like a fun place to hang out.
Yeah, just go there, hang out. You know what I recommend you do? Find an episode of a show that Jordan or I have been the guest on. Go into their discussion thread for that episode and say, hey, Jordan or Jesse were really good on this. I should check out Jordan Jesse Go. I bet that's really good. Right?
Yeah.
Spam their forums.
Spam their forums.
No, our sincere thanks, our very sincere thanks to our friends at Earwolf. So head over to earwolf.com. We'll be back in just a second on Jordan Jesse Go. It's Jordan Jesse Go. I'm Jesse Thorne, America's radio sweetheart.
Jordan Morris, boy detective.
Hasan Minhaj, young, brown, kind.
That's, yeah. You know what? That's true, too.
Yeah. Although,
that's as true as the other one, I'd say. He's as kind as he is pretty.
I kind of feel like it's a sort of a transparent play to be the next Dalai Lama.
Yeah.
And that's not how you get to become the Dalai Lama.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
You have to kill the Dalai Lama.
Right, 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 right.
No, that's Highlander.
In a trial by
Jordan,
combat.
Jordan, that's a
there can be only one Dalai Lama.
Usually, Jordan, and usually Dalai Lamas in training don't plug their ascension to becoming the next Dalai Lama. It's very against the way.
Anyway,
hey, guys, come see me at Largo next week.
Right, right.
I'm trying to become the next Dalai Lama, right, right. So just get out there on Twitter.
The real next Dalai Lama is doing WTF right now.
That's true.
Hasan, I do want to know about, world stand-up comedy operation that you're running.
It's called Stand Up Planet. I did about a year and a half ago. Filmed this. The Bill and Melinda Gates Foundation approached us about this opportunity where they said, look, we want to find new and interesting ways to convey the narrative of life around the world.
I can tell you what it is. Mosquito nets.
Right. Look, no. What they wanted was
they wanted some jokes about mosquito nets.
Because look, this is the thing: they didn't want poverty porn. Essentially, they didn't want like a meet Mobutu for 17 cents a day. You can da da da. They wanted to find a new and interesting narrative.
But you do have a soundtrack by Sarah McLachlan.
I do. Yeah. And
you had to sleep with Bono.
Right. All that work.
Had to or got to.
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah, fair enough.
He leaves the goggles on, everybody. That's part about fucking Bono.
So they, which would have been, that's a great, that would be super fun. But
Bill and Melinda, if you're listening, thank you so much for giving us on this show.
Right. And we were like, well, there's these stand-up comedy scenes that are springing up around the world in Egypt and South Africa and Nigeria and a lot of comics on South Africa and India, and a lot of comics are getting on stage and they're talking about a lot of their day-to-day life. And some of that stuff includes HIV and AIDS awareness, sanitation issues, mosquito nets, pooping in holes. So, Bill and Melinda Gates, they have this initiative to reinvent the toilet in India. Mm-hmm. And so they said, let's follow the joke into comedians' lives. And there's comedians that were talking about some of that stuff. There's comedians on stage talking about gender roles and stuff like that. Let's talk about that and follow their life into, follow their joke into their life and see how true that is. In South Africa, comics were talking about HIV and AIDS awareness and, you know, losing loved ones to HIV and AIDS and the cultural shame that's attached to that. So we followed their life to be like, you know, this is like real life. It's not contrived from a joke book.
When you say we, does that mean that you traveled the world talking to these people and visiting their poop holes?
Correct.
That's cool.
Yeah.
That sounds fun. Where'd you go?
We went to Mumbai and we went to Johannesburg. Oh. So for this first iteration, we went to Mumbai. We met a bunch of comedians there. And then we went to South Africa, Johannesburg, and then met a bunch of comedians there. Then brought back a couple of the comedians from India and South Africa here to the States to perform, you know, with me, some of my friends, James Adomian, Michelle Buteau, Nate Bargatze. And then we all got to interview Norman Lear and Carl Reiner and Bill Cosby, who are all advisors on the project. So we kind of shared this global comedy experience, which was really rad.
Had you ever been to either of those cities?
I'd been to India a bunch, but I had not been to Mumbai specifically. And the scene there is incredible.
Where does someone do comedy there? Like, there's not like clubs, right?
Yeah. So now,
just on top of a tuk-tuk.
Yeah, yeah. And now comedy clubs are starting to like spring up.
Oh, huh.
So what's so crazy is seeing, I mean, and maybe this is just out of virtue of just like sheer population, you'll see a comic start to become really big and then they'll just tweet out a random black box theater or a cafe that they're performing at and it'll just be packed that night.
Oh, cool.
But now they have like traditional comedy clubs that are in like strip malls and you like go to.
And you still have to buy chicken fingers and
no
an
matter
overpriced
where
Miller Lite.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. This guy knows what I'm talking about, just in whatever respective language.
My dad used to go to Mumbai a lot for work, and I remember, you know, he's been many. You used to work in third world development, actually.
Hmm.
And the thing that he would say about Mumbai was it was the most intense city that he had ever been to.
More than China?
Including Bangkok. I don't know. Wow. I don't remember him ever going to China, but more than Bangkok, more than, you know, all these different places that he went to. Like Mumbai was like the most teeming of teeming cities.
Yeah. I think everybody at one point in their life should go to India, specifically a big country, a big city like Delhi or Mumbai, because literally everything is just right in your face, inches away. So it's just like poverty, excess, people, animals, rickshaw, everything is just like right there. It's unlike anything you've ever
chicken fingers
comedy
$10 Miller Lights,
the differences between men and women.
Yeah,
everybody's on Tinder these days,
right?
Where did you guys perform when you brought them to America?
We performed at the Laugh Factory here, and coincidentally I actually went over there and I performed at there. They had a comedy store over there.
Oh wow.
The Mumbai Comedy Store, which
is— Do they have a Rooster Tea Feathers?
Which is, yeah, Cock-a-doodle-doo.
Sure.
Both of those places, both South Africa and India obviously have a lot of people that speak English. Are people doing comedy in
the native
English
tongue?
Or in a mix or in different—
So at the English speaking stand-up comedy clubs, people would mainly do English, but they would switch into, like, if I was in Johannesburg, someone would switch into Tswana or Zulu or whatever, and they would maybe do a joke where they're like joke, da 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 da, and then da 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 da, and like a language I don't understand, and I'm like, oh, what's da 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 da, because the laugh was on da 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 da. Like, I miss— but you know what's one thing that was cool is that you can tell who's funny. Like, there's just a rhythm and cadence to people that are funny, and so yeah, like,
also there's a group of people in the club, and a lot of times if you listen to them, you can hear they make a noise that indicates funniness.
Sure. It was really, really incredible. But yeah, I performed at, you know, black box theaters and I just kind of like immersed myself in the scene. It was pretty rad.
That sounds pretty awesome.
It was amazing.
Who is your number one comedian from a third world nation that you reckon? Well, these are second world nations.
Yeah, India.
Mix of second and third world nations, depending on where you are.
Right.
That you recommend people could like look up a YouTube clip of or something.
Yeah. One of my favorite comedians out of India, his name's Tanmay Bhatt. TanmayBhatt. He's hilarious. I call him Indian Ian Carmel. It's so funny going to other countries and being like, oh, like you're like the South African version of this guy that exists in the States. That's really interesting. That was really funny to me, where I'm just like, oh, hey, what's up, South African Matt Besser? Like, you kind of like look like him and you have his cadences.
Oh, I'm so excited to meet South African
Matt Besser. It's just like great.
Super high, super cranky.
Yeah, yeah.
Super from South Africa.
Yeah, and I'm just like,
always talking about Arkansas Razorbacks football.
And so, yeah, and then in South Africa, one of the funniest comics up there, he's very, very, very big. I mean, a lot of people already know about Trevor Noah, who's here in the States now, but I would say Loiso Gola is very, very funny.
That's really exciting, and this is going on PBS, right?
This is on PBS right now, and it is streaming. If you do not check your local listings, it's streaming on standupplanet.org. You can check it out. It's just streaming
online. Oh,
that is
awesome! I'm glad, because I literally don't get PBS. Good work, PBS Los Angeles system. There is if you don't have cable in Los Angeles,
but you get KCET, and it's on KCET.
Oh, there you go.
Yeah.
Fantastic.
What is on KCET, out of curiosity?
There is a show called
Hello,
like
Southern California.
Masters of Aviation, that is like literally one of their like building block shows. It is a show about airplanes.
Okay.
And it's not, it's just like, it's not, it has no, It's just fucking airplanes.
They'll rerun some California's Gold on there, too.
Okay. Yeah, they have they got a pretty deep well of California's Gold episodes. Kuhlhauser is a big part of their...
Okay.
Yeah, the thing is like, they don't even get the A crop of international television programs, because that has been licensed to the PBS stations locally. So they're airing, like, weird ITV shows from England that aren't even that popular in England.
Uh-huh.
And, like, trying to... Yeah, it's a real situation.
Okay.
It's a real situation.
But everyone gets it.
But everyone gets it. Because it's the strongest. What happened is, for folks who don't know, Los Angeles' PBS station left PBS like 2 years ago.
Oh, wow.
They just told PBS to go fuck themselves because they didn't like paying for PBS affiliation. And now they air a mix of insightful documentaries produced by the Bill and Melinda Gates Foundation and weird shows about aviation history. Okay.
Good to know.
Hey, you want to do momentous occasions?
I'd love to.
So would I. When something momentous happens to you, our listeners, we have you call us. Our number, 206-984-4FUN, 206-984-4FUN. For a segment called Momentous Occasions, let's hear the first call.
Hi, Jordan. Hi, Jesse. My guest, I'm calling in with a moment of horror, I guess, because I was just walking down the street to the grocery store like a normal person, and something flew into my head, and it was a crow, a living crow, just flew into my head, and I went to the grocery store and was so in shock that I just bought some lemons and left because I couldn't remember what I was doing because a crow flew into my head, and now I need to shave off my hair and burn it. I don't know what to do. I think this might be an omen of some kind.
Yeah, it's an omen that you weren't taking crows seriously.
Well, I mean, I understand that we're quick to blame the crow.
Yes.
Is it possible
that crows are evil? Yes.
Is it possible,
that they're plotting against us?
This young lady had corn hair.
Seems unlikely.
I'm just saying. Listen, I'm with you. I understand why you don't trust crows. I'm just saying I think we should probably check and make sure this young lady didn't have some sort of corn hair that the crow was trying to get.
You know what she should have bought when she went into that grocery store? Crow poison.
Oh, yeah.
Crow gun.
You're going to want to get those at Kroger.
Seriously, I fucking hate crows.
Yeah.
Fuck you, crows. You're a bullshit bird. You make the world a worse place. You're mean. You're ugly. I saw a crow repeatedly attacking these two birds that were trying to defend their nest over and over and over and over and over.
Was it a corn nest?
Now that I couldn't tell.
Yeah.
I think it's unlikely that the woman had corn hair, but whether it was a corn nest is tough for me to say. Could have been kernels in there. Could have been silk.
Sure.
Husk. Silk from the husk.
Mm-hmm.
Seems possible.
Yeah.
I'm just saying. I mean,
no, you're
if you're
just
a crow, you're going to try and get the corn.
No, you don't answer the questions. You just ask them.
Yeah.
I get it.
I'm just trying to be provocative here.
You know what also sucks about being a crow, though, is that your image.
So you suck so much.
Yeah, but
that's what sucks about being a crow. You're such a fucking asshole.
But you know how certain animals just don't look nice and people don't like them?
Sure.
Crows are kind of like that.
You know how certain animals are always getting together and coming up with schemes to fuck with people?
Like hyenas?
No, like crows.
Okay.
Do hyenas fuck with people?
Oh, yeah. I went on a safari in South
Africa. Are they the crows of mammals?
And you know what's interesting is that one of the people there was like, hyenas have a really bad rep. They're actually not that bad. And I'm like, no, they were in collusion with Scar to kill Mufasa.
Yeah.
They're horrible people.
Oh, sure.
You know a little something about Africa.
Yeah.
You went down there to give those people a piece of your mind.
Like, I've seen The Lion King.
That I did.
That was your big...
That's how I made all my judgments of the animals, based on their own The Lion King.
Oh, yeah.
So when I saw that warthog, I was like, Pumbaa and Timon?
That was your big opener when you got down there.
Yeah.
When you hit the stage there in Johannesburg. You said, yeah, I know a little something about Africa. I seen The Lion King.
So where's these karate monkeys you guys have, right? Where's these monkeys that know karate?
And I had them at Lion King.
Yeah. Yep.
Let's take our next call.
Hi, Jordan, Jesse, go. This is Dylan from Kansas City with a momentous occasion. Me and my girlfriend were just driving home and passed a sign pointing towards the north, and it's just said the words, diaper party. Have a great day.
Yeah.
Nice. Sounds like they stumbled upon some adult baby shit.
Yeah.
Diaper party.
Somebody call Kevin Allison.
Yeah, right?
I just assume that Kevin Allison's into anything that I hear about. Or at least knowledgeable about.
Sure, yeah.
Knows, and positive and encouraging towards.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, God, I love that guy.
Diaper party. Is there anything else it could be? I mean, I guess maybe it's...
I think what
know,
it is it's a party. I think the literal... There's two things diaper party is. Mm-hmm. One is I think it's like a... baby shower type okay. situation where everybody brings diapers so that the mom doesn't have to buy diapers for the first whatever.
Yeah.
It's 3-6 months.
Right.
But I think a lot of people use that as a cover for adult baby fucking.
Gotcha.
Mm.
I mean, it's those two. So I think it's those two things, about 50-50.
Yeah. Like if a couple is having a baby shower and you maybe notice that the woman isn't pregnant or it seems like she should be showing more. Maybe they're just into adult baby shit.
Right. Or like if you show up to what you think is a baby shower
mm-hmm.
and you know, things are moving along normally, but you notice that you're erect, it's probably one of those adult
sure.
baby things.
Sure. Mm-hmm.
Or that you're lubricated.
Yeah. It's probably
depending
a,
on your gender.
It's probably a hard conversation to have later is that like, hey, we brought you all that stuff. Did you guys ever have that baby? You're like, oh, no. We lost it. They're just using it for sex.
Right. Yeah.
Anyway. But you can't say anything.
Yeah.
Did Teresa have baby showers?
Teresa had a baby shower the first time, but not the second
okay.
time.
Is that gauche to have two baby showers, or are you usually?
No, it's not necessarily gauche, but we were, all, you know, maybe we would have, if we lived in the same place as all of Teresa's relatives mm-hmm. that wanted to have a baby shower. Maybe we would have if we were having a girl after we were having a boy. But the truth was there just wasn't any stuff we wanted people to buy us.
Sure.
There was like Teresa's parents and like a couple of aunts got together and bought us a new car seat or something. I don't remember. There was some practical thing that we actually needed and they insisted on buying us something. And we're like, well, you could get us a new car seat, but, you know, we don't need any more. Blankies. All anyone buys you at a baby shower, by the way, is blankies. Blankies and stuffed animals. Like
those assholes.
No, I'm just
those
saying.
Thoughtful assholes.
If you're going to a baby shower, just don't bring a blankie and don't bring a stuffy.
Sure.
And don't bring newborn clothes. That's three things you shouldn't bring.
Why?
To a
what's
baby
wrong
shower.
With newborn clothes?
Bring 3 to 6 or 6 to 12 clothes. Because everybody else is going to bring newborn clothes because newborn clothes are so cute. But
right,
like,
right.
Newborn clothes only last for like a month and you already have too many anyway. And newborns don't wear clothes because they don't leave the house because they're newborns. And all you're doing is crawling around your house trying to put enough food in your mouth and your baby's mouth
right.
that no one dies. you're not like headed off to a christening in newborn clothes. So
right.
It needs to look really cute.
Mm.
You know what I mean?
Yeah. Yeah.
Spread it out a little bit. Get a 3 to 6. Get a 6 to 12. There's nothing wrong with that. I wouldn't go that much further beyond that because then you're burdening them with storage. But
right.
Just buy it an adult tuxedo.
Yeah. Because it's going
to
need a tux.
It's
going
to need to go to
at some point. It's going to have to go to prom.
Yeah. Two proms.
Sure. Yeah.
You know, what if it gets invited to a charity gala?
Oh.
How do you know if the baby's going to be fat or not, though?
That's a really good
it's
question.
It's also very optimistic for you to say two proms.
I would assume.
Well, it's junior and senior, I guess.
Well,
right?
I mean,
but yeah,
hey, I didn't go to junior or senior.
You didn't go to either prom?
I didn't go to either prom.
Too handsome?
I got.
You went to a special handsome prom.
No, I got stood up senior.
Oh, no.
Oh.
Didn't just go stag?
I didn't go stag. I was too heartbroken, too.
You and then hung and then around at home and watched Star Trek Next Generation.
I played Mario Kart 64. Yeah. And then junior just didn't end up going, yeah.
Yeah.
Jordan went to 8 proms.
8 proms.
Were you class president?
What was I? I was something.
Okay.
Oh, I was homecoming king.
No kidding.
Yeah, yeah.
When you were in that moment, present, you're there
sure.
and you're homecoming and they're putting the crown on, were you like, I can live forever?
Oh, totally, yeah. I even played a round of Russian roulette on the football field just to prove to everyone that I was fucking invincible.
And he had like a rusty, scary gun, like the kind of gun where it could go, it could explode in his hand in addition to just shooting a bullet.
Yeah, my grandpa took it off of a body in Da Nang. If you want to envision the kind of gun.
No, yeah. I already see it. Yeah.
And I mean, the good news is that his tux did have a place for a concealed carry. But that's just because he got it from his grandpa.
Right.
He used to go to a lot of military evening events.
Yeah.
Definitely, like, as a drama goofball in high school, like, definitely the number one thing for my group of friends was to, like, get dressed up silly and go to one of the dances and act silly. So
amazing.
Went to a lot of dances.
Yeah.
That was
good
basically
times.
My entire high school all the time.
Good times, embarrassed looking back at it. Someone on Facebook posted a montage of one of our dances where, like, everybody is just in, like, goofy Disney outfits. And I think I'm wearing, like, pantaloons or something like that and a feather in my cap. It was I definitely wanted to go back in time and pants myself.
What is a goofy Disney outfit?
Oh.
Like a Mickey Mouse head?
No, it looks like you would be a character walking around, just like a princess, like a Disney princess. And some of the guys were like in, you know, like kind of Romeo and Juliet type outfits. We were goofballs.
Wow.
Insufferable goofballs.
Yeah. But it sounds like a blast.
Yeah. Oh, it was fun at the time. And I'm, you know, and I'm super, super glad that that was my high school and not, you know, racing raised trucks or,
right.
You know, getting drunk at the, you know, at the jet ski shoot off area or the other options that were available to me in Orange County.
Right.
I'm glad that's what I did. But also when I saw it on Facebook, I wanted to punch myself in the dick.
Right.
Good Night Moon. That's another thing you shouldn't get someone. They already have a copy of Goodnight Moon.
That's really great.
Nothing wrong with Goodnight Moon.
Get the baby a copy of The Silmarillion. It lets you know lots of backstory that you need to know when you're reading The Lord of the Rings. Yeah. Who wrote what song? Where dwarves come from?
Yeah.
Babies love The Silmarillion.
Maybe in Carta 95.
That is really good because that contains practically all of the knowledge in the world.
Everything you need to know about everything.
There have been some updates to world knowledge since 1995.
Right.
But I think if you get in Carta 95, you're doing pretty good.
I kind of think in Carta 95 is the golden eye of encyclopedias.
Right. Oh, yeah.
Where it's just like just great all around.
They've tried
iconic.
To remake it.
They've tried, but it just
isn't
the
really
same.
Work. There's a magic there.
Yeah, they really hit it.
Do we have more calls? One more call. Let's hear it.
Hi, this is Molly, and I'm in L.A., and I have a moment of shame. I was one of the people who bought a Jordan Jesse Go Mabim Bam live show ticket the minute they went on sale. It is 7 p.m. I am an hour from the venue, and I really fucked up that time. So I guess Friday the 13th is an unlucky day for me. Whoops. See you guys next time.
You could have come. We didn't start till like 8:15.
Yeah, Molly.
You blew it double.
Yeah, we started late.
Molly.
One time I found out that Boyz II Men was sold out in Stockton.
Molly. I'm still saying Molly over here.
Yeah.
I want to hear about how Hassan Stockton killed Boyz II Men.
They were playing in Stockton, California.
Mm-hmm.
I'm a huge Boyz II Men fan.
The city of ports.
Yeah.
Is that correct?
I don't know. There's no ports in Stockton. Stockton is the city in Northern California that went bankrupt.
I thought it was home of the Stockton ports.
Is it?
I think so.
Maybe.
Are you even Googling that, Lindsay? Jeez Louise. It's the Sunrise Seaport.
Oh, man.
Stockton ports. Google Stockton ports.
Okay. So, I grew up in Davis, California. Me and my buddies were like, we're gonna go see Boyz II Men. We drive.
Funny, you and your male buddies were all wanted to go see Boyz II Men. That's great.
So we drive. R&B was very good in the 90s. We drive out there, sold out. So it's at this little theater in Stockton. We go to the back alley. And I don't know why our minds were already in like sitcom mode. We're like, look, there's going to be a bus that's going to pull in and Boyz II Men will get off the bus. And we're going to be like, we're huge fans and Boyz II Men will give us tickets. They get off the bus, naked, Nathan, Michael, Sean, Wanye. And I was like, Boyz II Men. Yeah, that's
and
our name.
Like, Boyz II Men.
ABC, BBD. And I was like, we're huge fans. It's like me, four other buddies. And I was like, yo, it's sold out. Like, we would love tickets. Like, oh my God, we'd love tickets. And then Sean was like, all right, man, just wait here. And he goes inside, and then 10 minutes later, a bouncer walks out, and he's like, yo, are y'all the dudes that were yelling at the boys? We got you tickets. It was out of
a so for a second there,
TV show.
You were concerned you had hit the end of the road.
It's unnatural.
But you hadn't. The road had just begun.
No.
How was the show? What's a Boyz II Men show like?
Amazing. They can sing so well.
Yeah.
So good. And when they brought out the roses for On Bended Knee, I wanted a rose, but yeah. I was like, let the girls get the roses.
Right.
But
they need the roses.
Man.
You wanted one real bad.
I wanted one really.
When an R&B singer is in full bloom, and I can say this having seen. Having seen both D'Angelo in his most cut, probably the best concert I've ever been to. D'Angelo on the
did he just come out with a sock on his dick?
He was wearing black leather pants and shirtless.
Sure.
What does dick look like?
Gorgeous.
Cool.
Just beautiful. There was a forest out back behind the venue.
That's definitely been one of my favorite BuzzFeed lists is remember these 90s R&B dicks?
Usher to a lesser extent. Al Green, when I saw Al Green, the Concord Pavilion, just the frenzy that they can generate is awesome. Even if you are a heterosexual dude who has no interest in sleeping with them,
yeah,
it is still super fun when there's all these women flipping out.
The energy is great.
I have definitely I have not seen an R&B thing live, but I have seen the whitest equivalent of this. In high school, someone gave my buddy two tickets to see Chris Isaak. And,
wait, from the Chris Isaak show?
Chris Isaak, like Emerald, known for his acting.
Yeah.
And when he played Lady in Red, which is a song I could not enjoy less.
Right.
It's maybe one of my least favorite songs.
Right. And Chris Isaak is perfectly fine overall.
Sure.
But you don't want to hear Lady in Red.
Awful. Like on the radio at school dances,
yeah.
Whenever it comes on, it makes me feel like there's bugs on me.
I think from the Chris Isaak show, we learned that he's a fun, interesting guy. But you don't want to. That doesn't mean you want to hear Lady in Red.
Sure, but when he played it live, and the stage was bum rushed by a throng of glowing, chubby new moms. I mean, I definitely felt that sensual power.
Right.
And I was drawn to it.
Yeah.
When I hear that song now, I still hate it, but I definitely remember that force, that Hadouken-like force wave.
Energy.
That blasted over the crowd.
Whenever even now you see a chubby new mom in a red dress.
Yeah.
You lose control.
I offer her a respite from her cruel husband.
Memories. So
the moral of the story is, call her, show up. You never know what could happen.
Yeah. Oh, Molly, yeah, you should have shown up. Come on.
What if you saw your guys' car pull up and then Molly
goes...
Right,
we pulled up in our tour bus.
Yeah. It was Jordan Jesse, huge fan. Can I get a ticket?
I'll tell you this, though. Opening for Al Green, the late, great Isaac Hayes.
Wow.
A man who wrote and performed some of the greatest R&B hits of the 1970s, and yet in his set did a medley of his songs from South Park, including an extended version of Big Sweaty Balls.
Sure.
Salty Balls. Big Salty Balls. That was one of the worst and saddest things I've ever seen in my entire life. Like, as amazing as Al Green was, I would say Isaac Hayes was that amount of sad.
Oh, wow.
It seems like he wouldn't have to do that opening for Al Green. It seems like people are there to see Isaac Hayes shit.
That was part of what made it so sad. You just fucking do the theme from Shaft, and by the time I got to Phoenix and all of your legendary hits, you got a 20-piece band with you. Just fucking do a half-hour set of three songs.
Yeah.
It's easy.
You don't need this Isaac Hayes.
Anyway, we'll be back in just a second on Jordan Jesse Go. Hey, gang, it's me, Jesse. If you want to join me in the Caribbean Ocean, not just me, but a bunch of your favorite comedians and musicians, well, you've only got 2 weeks left to buy your tickets. Go to boatparty.biz. That's boatparty.biz. Hey, guess what? We just added Todd Barry to the lineup. That's one of the greatest comedians in the entire freaking world. You know what? I'm going to say it. The entire fucking world. Todd Barry. That's right. Todd Barry. Yeah, I can say Todd Barry in a Todd Barry voice. You only have until the end of the month to buy tickets, so go to boatparty.biz. I swear to God, you will not regret it. It is so fun. Yeah, okay. Let's get back to Jordan Jesse Go. It's Jordan Jesse Go. I'm Jesse Thorne, America's radio sweetheart.
Jordan Morris, boy detective.
Hasan Minhaj, here, present, and having a blast.
Jesse Thorne, clear, present, and dangerous.
Jordan Morris, shadow recruit.
Hasan, it's
that should be my new nickname.
Shadow recruit.
Yeah.
Hasan Minhaj, expert at Golden Gun. GoldenEye. Wow. Very good at
Golden Gun. Oh, you're an expert? You're an expert at the gun that takes one shot to kill?
One shot to kill.
Well.
I much prefer that to just having a regular full life.
Okay.
You know what I mean? And wearing
you like
down
the stakes
bullets.
High.
I like it.
Okay.
Lot.
You like the rush.
Yeah, yeah.
You're an adrenaline
and I
junkie.
Like the re-up that just bump, 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 bump. We start again.
You like to load yourself up with some yerba mate.
Oh,
you get
man.
Jacked on mate.
Do about three or four brews. Loose
sure.
leaf.
Yeah.
No fuck around with the.
Okay.
Yeah. And then just
seep
get
it
going.
Nice and long.
Yeah.
You got to seep it long.
10 minutes apiece. Maybe go in, take a shower, come back. That's your first brew. Pop off some emails.
Da-da,
second brew.
Dun.
Mm-hmm. Da-da, mm.
Da-da, da-da. Sorry.
Yeah.
You guys done talking about this?
I'm so sorry. Hulu Plus.
Hulu
Go
Plus.
To HuluPlus.com/.
Forward slash.
JJ Go.
JJ Go.
JJ Go.
Thanks to Hulu Plus, where you can binge on thousands of hit shows anytime, anywhere. You can get an extended free trial of Hulu Plus when you go to HuluPlus.com/JJ Go. Hasan. People can go to your website, the website for your documentary, which we should mention again. It's goodymobworldparty.com.
Standupplanet.org. And check me out at www.hasanminhaj.com.
You got any shows coming up? Where are you headed?
I am in town for a bit. So I'll be in Los Angeles tonight. This is too late.
You're just bragging about some of your cool gigs.
Yeah,
tonight.
If you just see a handsome guy with cool Jordans,
yeah.
Just let him know that he's Hasan Minhaj.
Tonight I'm hosting Funny or Die's Make 'Em Laugh show at the Grammy Museum here in downtown Los Angeles.
Which tonight? This tonight?
This
as
tonight,
we record?
As we record.
Well, what do you want? Do you want us just to congratulate you?
They're
not. This is going to be 2 days
well,
ago.
Well, you said plug a cool gig, and I'm not going to just go. Hey, check me out 11:15 p.m. at the Comedy Store.
I don't know. That
that's for
fun,
that's for
right?
some hardcore. That's for some hardcore.
Maybe things. Molly could make it.
I mean, it's
she
not
can't
as,
make our 8 o'clock show, but maybe she can get her ass there by 11:15.
It's not as cool as doing John Lovitz's club at the Universal City Walk.
Hey, it's John Lovitz's podcast theater, and don't you forget it.
Oh, I didn't know that.
Yay.
Don't you ever forget?
Yeah,
that.
Podcasting no legend John Lovitz.
Yeah. And you can't do it in small little rinky-dink things, situations like this that you get
no,
at home fucking Depot. You need a goddamn
Why
theater.
Why haven't we done a show at the
Universal
John Lovitz
City
podcast
Walk,
theater.
Pay $20 for parking in the Jurassic Park, and you walk past.
Jurassic parking.
Yeah, you walk
I
past.
I still think that's funny. Every time.
Hey, that's clever.
You know, I like
you,
this.
You park on the Velociraptor floor. You walk past that T-Rex. You hang a left. You walk by the Blues Bar that's always packed with people. Then you walk into that theater that's empty. and you recognize game, goddammit.
You know how the song goes. Game recognize game
mm-hmm.
at the John Lovitz Comedy Podcast Theater, Maine.
Uh-huh.
Lovitz recognized Lovitz.
Three decks. Three decks to experience all the fun.
Our producer is Brian Fernandez. On the boards this week, the great Lindsay Pavlis.
Thank you, Lindsay.
Stockton Ports. Do we have confirmation on the Stockton Ports? Minor league baseball team,
wow.
The Stockton Ports. Mm.
What's Sacramento's minor league baseball team? Hit me.
The River Cats.
Okay, there we go.
Sacramento River Cats.
Great logo, great field. Raleigh Field, beautiful field.
But they haven't been the River Cats for all that long. They used to be something else. They were the Sacramento A's for a while, weren't they?
I don't know. I remember when the River Cats were announced, it was like officially our minor league team. It was a big deal.
Is that a kind of cat that lives in a river?
Nah.
I don't know.
This is just some bullshit. It's a fictional animal.
Every fucking minor league team now is just some... Ever since the Lansing Lugnuts came out, every minor league team just has some bullshit-ass name.
Lugnuts is a real thing, though.
I know, but it's just...
I want to know if there's a cat that lives in a river.
Some
That's
team named
question.
Itself after the team from The Simpsons, and then it was all finished.
Somebody's the Springfield Adams?
Yeah.
That's funny.
Fuck that noise.
They have the Capital City Goofball come out.
If you don't have Steve Sachs on your team, I'm not interested. Okay, look, that's all. Talk about us on the forum, forum.maximumfun.org. We like to chat with fans
sure.
on the forum, and I've been enjoying chatting with fans on the Reddit page. There was a nice thread on the Reddit page thanking me for talking about it on Jordan Jesse Go.
There you go.
Yeah, you're welcome. The guy whose name is Lothrar or whatever it is, he changed his name on there to it's pronounced blah, 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 blah. But I don't know what. I don't remember.
Sure.
I don't remember. It's Ladrab or something. Labrat. So congratulations to Labrat on starting the Max Fun subreddit. All you got to do is search for Maximum Fun Reddit and you can get in there and post about any of the shows. Doesn't have to be our show.
Sure.
Post something about Brian and Aaron. Post something about Wham Bam Pow. Post something about your favorite action movies, courtesy of Wham Bam Pow. How about that?
Sounds great.
Sounds fun. That's all.
Fantastic.
That's all. We'll talk to you next time on Jordan Jesse Go.
Goodbye.
MaximumFun.org.
Comedy and culture.
Artist owned.
Listener supported.